Welcome back to episode 54 of the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. Today on the podcast, we're going to listen. It's a short one today. It's probably 30 minutes, 25 minutes. Broadcast by James Corbett from the Corbett Report. And James is talking about social media and the weaponization of social media. And a lot of people might not really be aware of it, but everything that you say, that you type into your keyboard, that you share with others, your likes, and just everything that you're doing online is monitored, of course. And it's not like, you know, hey, I'm not doing anything wrong, I really don't care. That goes without saying. I mean, pretty much everybody out here, we are just to make a living and pay our bills. But at the same time, I mean, these things are being weaponized against us just for marketing to us, to controlling how we think, to controlling and directing our decisions politically, economically, from a family standpoint. As I said, and I haven't mentioned it in a while, but the war right now is raging against the family unit. That's really at the bottom of all of this. You're going to see it's really a war against the family unit and the tribe, like families and people sticking together and supporting one another. What they're doing is dividing and conquering us. And we need to be aware of this. It's imperative that a father is a father and a mother is a mother, and they take their child's best interest. We're not out here to be their friends on social media and get likes from them and not to get upset with them because they're going to unfriend us. Or it's ridiculous what's happening these days. And I see it. I see it all over the place. You know, we got to get back to the old ways, man, that, you know, that I was raised. You know, I was born in 1959. And, you know, I remember the way it used to be. And that's how, you know, sometimes the old ways are the better ways. We messed up in a lot of ways back then, but I'll tell you something. What we have now is this doesn't make it. You can see the results of it everywhere around where you look. And how detached, and how, in a bad way detached, how controlled we are, and just people have no idea, no direction. This is not everyone. For the most part, to a large degree, when you walk around and you look here in America, anyways, I could speak. I've traveled the world a little bit, and I do see some differences in different cultures and the way of bringing up. But slowly, the whole planet is getting homogenized, where everybody is pretty much in the same Orwellian groupthink. Be aware of this, man, and be aware of what you listen to and what you allow to enter your thought processes. You know, like I said, I don't watch TV. I have to correct that. There's one or two shows I do like. Adult Swim. I do like what's that show? That ridiculous show on Adult Swim, Delocated. It's retarded, but it's so funny. And oddly enough, I love this show. It's called River Monsters, where this guy goes fishing in like some remote places, and pretty much every episode he almost dies. It's a great show. So there's a couple of things I watch, but not much at all. And Breaking Bad, which is one of my favorite series ever, replaced The Sopranos. But I digress. We have to be really, really vigilant as far as, you know, social media and what we're doing on there, and not allowing it to brainwash us. You know, go in and get your news, and you know, if you're going to share like I'm doing right now, this is a form of social media. Do it. Do what you got to do, and do it with the sense that, you know, you're aware of what's happening and what's going on around you. So on that note, we're going to get into James Corbett. Yo, James Corbett out of Japan, he's a man. I believe he's a Canadian, but he's tremendous, man. He's good to listen to, and he's really chock full of information. I highly recommend you get onto his website and support him. James Corbett, let's get into it.
It didn't take long from the birth of the World Wide Web for the public to start using this new medium to transmit, collect, and analyze information in ways never before imagined. The first message boards and clunky Web 1.0 websites soon gave way to the blogosphere. The arrival of social media was the next step in this evolution, allowing for the formation of communities of interest to share information in real time about events happening anywhere on the globe. But as quickly as communities began to form around these new platforms, governments and militaries were even quicker in recognizing the potential to use this new medium to more effectively spread their own propaganda. Their goal? to shape public discourse around global events in a way favorable to their standing military and geopolitical objectives. Their method? The weaponization of social media. This is the Corbett Report. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, Instagram, Reddit. Social media as we know it today barely existed 15 years ago. Although it provides new ways to interact with people and information from all across the planet, virtually instantaneously and virtually for free, we are only now beginning to understand the depths of the problems associated with these new platforms. More and more of the original developers of social media sites like Facebook and Twitter admit they no longer use social media themselves and actively keep it away from their children. And now, they are finally admitting the reason why. Social media was designed specifically to take advantage of your psychological weaknesses and keep you addicted to your screen.
You know, if the thought process that went into building these applications, Facebook being the first of them, to really understand it, that thought process was all about how do we consume as much of your time and conscious attention as possible. And that means that we need to sort of give you a little dopamine hit every once in a while because someone liked or commented on a photo or a post or whatever. And that's going to get you to contribute more content, and that's going to get you, you know, more likes and comments. I mean, it's a social validation feedback loop that it's like a, I mean, it's exactly the kind of thing that a hacker like myself would come up with, because you're exploiting a vulnerability in human psychology. And I think that the inventors, creators, you know, and it's me, it's Mark, it's the, you know, Kevin Systrom at Instagram, it's all of these people, understood this consciously, and we did it anyway.
It should be no surprise, then, that in this world of social media addicts and smartphone zombies, the 24/7 newsfeed is taking up a greater and greater share of people's lives. Our thoughts, our opinions, our knowledge of the world, even our mood are increasingly being influenced or even determined by what we see being posted, tweeted, or vlogged. And the process by which these media shape our opinions is being carefully monitored and analyzed, not by the social media companies themselves, but by the U.S. military.
When the world's largest social media platform betrays its users, there's going to be outrage.
There's a study to see whether Facebook could influence the emotional state of its users on that news feed.
It allowed researchers to manipulate almost 700,000 users' news feeds. Some saw more positive news about their friends, others saw more negative.
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, we're all kind of lab rats in the big Facebook experiment.
But it wasn't only Facebook's experiment. Turns out the psychological study was connected to the U.S. government's research on social unrest.
This is really kind of creepy. Yeah.
And it gets worse. What you may not know is that the U.S. Department of Defense has reportedly spent roughly $20 million conducting studies aimed at learning how to manipulate online behavior in order to influence opinion.
The initiative was launched in 2011 by the Pentagon's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, otherwise known as DARPA. The program is best described as the U.S. media's effort to become better at detecting and conducting propaganda campaigns via social media.
Translation: when anti-government messages gain ground virally, Washington wants to find a way to spread counter-opinion.
The DARPA document that details the Pentagon's plans for influencing opinions in the social media space is called Social Media in Strategic Communication. DARPA's goal, according to their own website, is to develop tools to help identify misinformation or deception campaigns and counter them with truthful information. Exactly what tools were developed for this purpose and how they are currently being deployed is unclear, but Rand Walsman, the program's creator, admitted last year that the project lasted 4 years, cost $50 million, and led to the publication of over 200 papers. The papers, including Incorporating Human Cognitive Biases in a Probabilistic Model of Retweeting, Structural Properties of Ego Networks, and Sentiment Prediction Using Collaborative Filtering, make the thrust of the program perfectly clear. Social media users are lab rats being carefully scrutinized by government-supported researchers, their tweets and Facebook posts and Instagram pictures being analyzed to determine how information spreads online, and, by implication, how the government and the military can use these social media networks to make their own propaganda go viral. As worrying as this research is, it pales in comparison to the knowledge that governments, militaries, and political lobby groups are already employing squadrons of keyboard warriors to wage information warfare in the social media battle space.
The Pentagon's got a new plan to counter anti-American messages in cyberspace. It involves buying software that will enable the American military to create and control fake online personas, fake people, essentially, who will appear to have originated from all over the world. The plan is being undertaken by CENTCOM, U.S. Central Command, and the objective of the Online Persona Management Service is to combat enemy propaganda by influencing foreign social media websites. CENTCOM has hired a software development company called Intrepid, and according to the contract, the California-based company will initially provide 50 user licenses, each of which would be capable of controlling up to 10 fake personas. U.S. law forbids the use of this type of technology called sock puppets against Americans, so all the personas will reportedly be communicating in languages like Arabic, Persian, and Urdu.
So is it okay to have the government monitor social media conversations and then to wade in and correct some of those conversations? With more on this, let's go to technology expert Carmi Levy. He's on the line from Montreal. Carmi, do you think the government's monitoring what you and I are saying right now? Is this whole thing getting out of line or what?
It opens up a bit of a question. I'd like to call it a Pandora's box of, what exactly is the government's aim here? And what do they hope to accomplish with what they find out? And as they accumulate this information online, this data on us, where does that data go? And so I think as much as we should applaud the government for getting into this area, the optics of it are potentially very Big Brother-ish. Mm-hmm. And the government really does need to be a little bit more concrete on what its intentions are and how it intends to achieve this.
New evidence that government-owned computers at the Army Corps of Engineers office here in New Orleans are being used to verbally attack critics of the Corps comes in an affidavit from the former editor-in-chief of NOLA.com. John Donnelly, who was laid off this past February, tells us via satellite from Texas, in late 2006, he started noticing people presenting themselves as ordinary citizens defending the Corps very energetically.
What stuck out, though, was the wording of the comments was in many ways mirroring news releases from the Corps of Engineers.
These commenters tried to discredit these people.
And when Rosenthal investigated, she discovered the comments were coming from users at the internet provider address of the Army Corps of Engineers offices here in New Orleans. She blamed the Corps for a strategy of going after critics.
In the process of trying to obscure the facts of the New Orleans floodings, one of their tactics was just verbal abuse.
Moetzet Yesha, in conjunction with My Israel, has arranged an instruction day for wiki editors. The goal of the day is to teach people how to edit in Wikipedia, which is the number one source of information today in the world. As a way of example, if someone searches the Gaza flotilla, we want to be there. We want to be the guys who influence what is written there, how it's written, and to ensure that it's balanced and Zionist in nature.
These operations are only the visible and publicly admitted front of a vast array of military and intelligence programs that are attempting to influence online behavior, spread government propaganda, and disrupt online communities that arise in opposition to their agenda. That such programs exist is not a matter of conjecture. It is mundane, established, documented fact. In 2014, an internal document was leaked from GCHQ, the British equivalent of the NSA. The document, never intended for public release, was entitled The Art of Deception: Training for a New Generation of Online Covert Operations, and bluntly stated that we want to build cyber magicians. It then goes on to outline the magic techniques that must be employed in influence and information operations online, including deception and manipulation techniques like anchoring, priming, and branding propaganda narratives. After presenting a map of social networking technologies that are targeted by these operations, the document then instructs the magicians how to deceive the public through attention management and behavioral manipulation. That governments would turn to these strategies is hardly a shocking development. In fact, the use of government shills to propagate government talking points and disrupt online dissent has been openly advocated on the record by high-ranking government officials for the past decade. In 2008, Cass Sunstein, a law professor who would go on to become Obama's information czar, co-authored a paper entitled Conspiracy Theories, in which he wrote that the best response to online conspiracy theories is what he calls cognitive infiltration of groups spreading these ideas. Government agents and their allies might enter chat rooms, online social networks, or even real space groups and attempt to undermine percolating conspiracy theories by raising doubts about their factual premises, causal logic, or implications for political action. In one variant, government agents would openly proclaim, or at least make no effort to conceal, their institutional affiliations. In another variant, government officials would participate anonymously, or even with false identities. It is perhaps particularly ironic that the idea that government agents are actually and admittedly spreading propaganda online under false identities is, to the less informed members of the population, itself a conspiracy theory rather than an established conspiracy fact. Unsurprisingly, when confronted about his proposal, Sunstein pretended to not remember having written it and then pointedly refused to answer any questions about it.
My name is Bill DeBerg from Brooklyn College, and I know you wrote many articles, but I think the most telling one about you is the 2008 one called Conspiracy Theories, where you openly advocated government agents infiltrate activist groups of non-loving truth and also stifle dissent online. I was wondering, why do you think it's the government's job, or why do you think the government should go after family members who have questions about 9/11, responders who are lied to about the air, survivors whose testimony commits, and also government whistleblowers that were gagged because they released information that contradicts the official story? Why do you think the government should do that?
I think, as Ricky said, I've written hundreds of articles, and I remember some and not others. That one I don't remember very well. I hope I didn't say that. But whatever was said in that article, my role in government is to oversee federal rulemaking in a way that is wholly disconnected from the vast majority of my academic writing, including that.
I just want to know, is it safe to say that you retract saying that conspiracy theorists should be banned or taxed for having an opinion online? Is it safe to say that?
I don't remember the article very well, yeah. So I hope I didn't say either of those things.
But you did, and it's written. Do you retract them?
I'm focused on my job.
Now, a decade on from Sunstein's proposal, we know that military psyops agents, political lobbyists, corporate shills, and government propagandists are spending vast sums of money and employing entire armies of keyboard warriors, leaving comments and shaping conversations to change the public's opinions, influence their behavior, and even alter their mood. And they are helped along in this quest by the very same technology that allows the public to connect on a scale never before possible. Technology is always a double-edged sword, and sometimes it can be dangerous to wield that sword at all. There are ways to identify and neutralize the threat of online trolls and shills, but the phenomenon is not likely to go away anytime soon. Each of us must find our own answer to the question of how best to incorporate these technologies into our life. But the next time you find yourself caught up in an argument with an online persona that may or may not be a genuine human being, it might be better to ask yourself if your efforts are better spent engaging in the argument or just turning off the computer.
The Corbett Report is brought to you by the DACA DVD series. From 2007 to 2016, each set of DACA DVDs contains every podcast, every article, every video, and every interview from that year of the website. Celebrate the Corbett Report's decade of alternative media dominance by owning it all, only on these DACA DVDs. For more information, please go to corbettreport.com/datadvd.
When Facebook was getting going, I had these people who would come up to me and they would say, you know, I'm not on social media. And I would say, okay, you know, you will be.
Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. I like to cover topics from ancient history, great leaders and generals from the past, and I also like to talk about self-realization, truth, critical thinking, and strategic spirituality. Outside the box, nonconformist. I'm here to shatter the myths of the mainstream media and the beta sheeple narrative. Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. My email address is alphamalebuddhist@gmail.com. My website is alphamalebuddhist.podbean.com. And my subreddit is reddit.com/r/alphamalebuddhist. That's my subreddit where you can comment and interact with other listeners. And it's a great forum to sit and have an open dialogue. So, again, thank you for listening and namaste.